May we be people of faith. May we live by faith. May we accomplish exploits in your name by faith. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. If you agree, would you say amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And I want to share tonight on declaring your future. And I encourage you to write that title down. How to declare your future. How to declare your future. You know, you hear different sayings as you go around the country. Or you go to the north, there's certain colloquialisms. You go to the south, there's certainly colloquialisms. Y'all, you know, that's something they say down here, y'all. You go up north, it's you guys. And I was just up in Bangor, Maine some months ago, and I went into a little craft shop, and they had some fudge and some candy there, you know, and I was inquiring about the fudge and the candy. I know y'all don't touch the stuff, but occasionally I do. And so I was inquiring, and I said, is this any good? And the lady said a statement that I had never heard, but I found out later this is a common phrase up in Bangor, Maine area. I said, is this any good? She says, oh, it's wicked good. And I went, excuse me? That's what they say up there. That's just a common phrase. She said, oh, it's wicked good. And I said, well, you have to excuse me. I said, I'm from the South. How can it be both wicked and good? And she looked at me and she went, well, I'm not sure. I've never thought about that. You know, we do say things that we sometimes don't think about. Well, one of the things, and I told her, I said, well, I don't believe I'm wanting that wicked good candy. Amen? So I just passed on that account. But, you know, one of the sayings you hear in the South here, have you ever heard this? I declare. Have you ever heard people say that? Well, I declare. Everybody say it. I declare. Have you ever heard people say, well, I declare. You know, they never tell you what they're declaring. They just say, I declare. We're going to be talking about declaring your future. I declare. There's other statements you hear in the South here. Well, I'll be. What will you be? I hear people say, well, I declare. Well, I'll be. Well, go ahead and tell me what you're going to be. Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. You can take it. Go ahead. I don't want that. You know, do tell. Well, go ahead and tell it. You know, just quit talking. Do tell. You ever hear people say that? Well, do tell. Well, go ahead and tell it. And so we're going to be talking about declaring your future. There is a realm when it comes to faith. And those of you that were not with us, able to be with us this morning, just, you know, get the tape from the church and also just take notes real quick, I guess. We basically broke faith down into three statements. And I encourage you to write this down if you were not with us. Faith sees it. Faith says it. And above all, faith does it. Faith will always begin by seeing it. And that occurs in the realm of the what? The heart. Everybody say, in my heart, I will see it. Now that's good. That's true whether it's wicked or whether it's good that you're pursuing. But faith will always begin by seeing it first. There will come a point, however, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, what? Speak it. So there comes a point where you will, I declare, do tell. And you know, another phrase comes to me, great day in the morning. Why is it always in the morning? Why not today? Great day in the morning. You ever heard people say that? Great day in the morning. Well, why not say great day today? Everybody say great day today. Everybody say great day tonight. I don't know if that made sense, but that sounded good. Amen. All right. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. For this commandment, verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, verse 13, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Now mark verse 14. I want you to mark verse 14 because we're going to read verse 14 over in Romans 10. We're going to read verse 14 quoted over in Romans 10. Verse 14 says, but the Word is very nigh unto thee. Please mark this. The Word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth. Circle it. In thy mouth. Put the word my in there. Say it. In my mouth. Say it. In. So if you're going to have faith, if you're going to walk in the blessings of God, if you're going to walk in the dimension called life, and good, and blessing, you're going to have to get what? Your mouth in gear. Somewhere in there, you're going to have to get your mouth in gear. It's impossible to talk about faith, really it's impossible to talk about fear, the opposite, without talking about the heart and the mouth connection. The heart and the mouth connection determines your direction. Look at verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth, and, here comes part two, mark it, and in thy heart. Put the word my in there. And in my heart, say it. And in my heart. One more time. And in my heart. So, whatever it is that you're pursuing, good or bad, blessing or cursing, it's going to have a lot to do with what is in your heart and what is in your mouth. And please mark
part three of this verse. It says, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest circle it, do it. Do it. So your heart and your mouth really dictate what you end up doing. I want to say that again. Your heart and your mouth really dictate what you end up doing in life. And this is so clear from the following verse, verse 15. Verse 15 says, see, I have set before thee this day, look at the two dimensions, life and good and death and evil. And so what he's saying there is whatever your heart meditates on, whatever your mouth speaks, that will determine what your feet begin to do. And it's either going to take you down the realm of life and good, or it's going to take you down the realm of death and evil. Do you see that? There is a divine autopilot. There is a divine autopilot called the heart and the mouth connection. It's undeniable. It's all through the Scripture. We'll see that tonight. It's not just a side issue. The heart and the mouth are connected. Jesus taught the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower, he was not giving an agricultural lesson. Amen. I mean, those people knew how to plant. He was talking about the realm known as the heart. And he said, whatever you plant in your heart is what's going to spring forth and what you'll end up eating of. In other words, you will experience whatever you plant in your heart. And Jesus said, make sure that the word of the kingdom of God is the main seed that's planted in your heart, that germinates, that takes root, that springs up and bears fruit. Is this making sense? It's really simple. A child can get it. But this is the divine autopilot. The divine autopilot is the heart and the mouth connection that determines your direction. What direction? Look at verse 15 again. Either life and good or death and evil. Let's all say this. I choose.
I choose.
Ooh, say it like you mean it. I choose.
I choose.
Life and good.
Life and good.
I resist.
I rebuke.
I refuse.
Death and evil.
Now see, you've got to make up your mind what you want out of life. Whatever you want out of life, you can have. I mean, that's just about the way it is. Whatever you want, you can have. Whatever you want, you can have. You can either have door A or door B, and it's going to be determined by what you do with your heart, with your mouth, and with your feet. Verse 19. And I know I ministered on this the last time I was here, but I'm trying to tie some of this together, fear and faith and so forth. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you, here it comes again, life and death. See, that's door A, door B. Blessing and cursing, door A, door B. Mark it. Hallelujah. Therefore, choose life. I said, therefore, choose life. Therefore, choose life. What do you choose? What do you want? That's the question of eternity. What do you want? Who do you want to be your master? Therefore, choose life. Aren't you glad it said we can choose? Aren't you glad that it's not eeny, meeny, miny, moe? Catch a Christian by his toe. If he prays, then bless him and let him go. I'm so glad that we can choose. Put your hand on your chest. Everybody put your hand on your chest. Let's all say this. I can choose, life or death, blessing or cursing, good or evil. I can choose. God has granted me the power to choose. Now, how do you choose? Now, write this in your notes. Don't miss this. How do you choose? You choose by determining what goes in your heart, what goes in your mouth, and what you do with your feet. That's the process of choice. You choose by what you put in your heart. That's why when you say, well, I don't choose either one, by default, you have chosen. If you let the world will program you through television, through videos, through, you know, radio. The world will choose for you. Your heart is made as soil. It will produce. Whatever's put in there, it will produce. That soil doesn't go, well, I tell you what, I just refuse to grow corn. I'll not do it. No soil will do that. The soil will produce whatever's put in there. Your heart will produce whatever's put in there. It'll begin to spring up, come out of the mouth. Well, I declare. Do tell. Well, go ahead and tell it. What is your future? Begin to declare it. And declare in line with the Word of God. Romans 10. Are you getting this? We're talking about faith. We're dissecting the process of faith. And why is this so important? It's because you're going to be saved by faith. You're going to live, and Martha so beautifully illustrated that, those three possibilities. You're either a non-Christian, Christ is not even in the life. You're a spirit-controlled Christian where Jesus is on the throne, as it were, controlling your life. Or you're a carnal Christian, a fleshy Christian, where you made a commitment to Christ at some point, but you still have self on the throne. And many times we go back and forth between those two. It's only by faith that you're going to keep Christ on the control center of your life. So you're going to live by faith. And watch this. Whatever you do for God, ministry, missionary work, business, raising children, whatever you do for God, it's going to require faith. Romans 10. And let's look at verse 8. But what saith it? Well, where is he quoting from? Does anybody know? Those of you that were listening this morning, no excuse for you to miss this. Test time. Look at verse 8. But what saith it? It what? Where is he quoting from? Somebody help me. Wow, we got some smart people tonight. Hallelujah. But what saith it? It what? He's quoting from Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Circle it. There's area. One area there, the mouth. And in thy heart, there's a second area. In the mouth and in the heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart. See, he keeps coming back to the heart and the mouth, the heart and the mouth. That God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, verse 10. And I realize I'm reviewing, but this is so important that I don't want to go to new material until I feel certain that you have seen this principle. Verse 10. For with the heart, everybody say with the heart. Now see, it's your heart that you believe. I said it's the heart realm where you believe. And seeing is believing. Whatever you see in your heart, that's really what you believe. Tell me all day long you believe this or that, but it's really whatever you're meditating on in your heart, that's what you're believing on. Whatever you spend your time meditating on predominantly, whatever you spend your time pondering, imagining, that's really what you believe. He says, for with the heart man believeth unto. And in this case, he says righteousness. We could just as well say, for with the heart man believeth unto missionary work. If you're called to be a missionary, it's going to start in your heart. For with the heart man believeth unto his own business. If God's called you to develop your own business, it's going to start in your heart. See, the same principle for salvation. You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you go out and begin to do the works of a disciple. That's the process of salvation. The same process is true regardless of what you may be believing God for. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto, and with the mouth confession is made unto. Starts in the heart, it's released with the mouth, and it's walked out with the feet. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, I want to spend just another moment on this idea of believing with your heart. Seeing is believing. The little brown bag. Everybody say the mystery bag. Everybody say, I wonder. That was kind of weak. I wonder. What's in the mystery bag? Well, let's just see what we have in the mystery bag. I need to draft a volunteer. Pastor Bob, you look so willing there. Jump up, if you will. Now, Bob, I'm going to have you stand right over here, face that way. And you cannot look with your natural eyes, but you can use a tool. Everybody say a tool. Yes. Oh, yes. A beautiful mirror. There you go, Bob. Whatever you see, hold the mirror up. Your faith, that's your faith. Keep your faith up there now. Your faith is... This is as your faith. Now, you're not looking at your faith. Look at your faith. Yes. You had it up, but you weren't looking at it. Keep your eyes on your faith. Now, watch this. Whatever Bob sees in the mirror... Are you following me? Good. He's got his faith held high. Amen. Now, whatever I hold up that he can see in the mirror, remember, can you turn around? Can you turn around?
No.
Right. Now, whatever I hold up, you can have, regardless of its worth. What do you see, Bob? Your faith is blurred, my friend. Don't say ring. I'm not giving you my ring. What am I holding in my hand?
A tomato.
A tomato. For those of you in the back, it may look like a little apple. It's a tomato. Everybody say tomato. What does Bob see? Now, Bob, do you sweat when you get nervous? Okay, good. There's no way for you to answer this properly. You do not see a tomato.
Bob does not see a tomato. What does Bob see? Ooh, boy, these people are getting sharp. You didn't really see the tomato. You're seeing the image, the reflection of the tomato. Now watch this. One of the definitions of faith is this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So when you begin to believe in your heart, for with the heart man believeth unto, or a job, or an airplane, or missionary work, or whatever it may be, your child being saved, your boy serving God, your girl serving God. For with the heart man believeth, keep your faith up there, Bob. For with the heart man believeth unto, that's the realm of seeing. Faith sees it, faith says it, and faith does it. Now watch this. He has still not seen the real tomato, but he's quite convinced because the image is the evidence. Your faith is like this mirror. Are you following this? Your faith is like this mirror. Your faith is not the reality in the physical world, but it is literal substance and evidence in the spirit realm, because the image couldn't be there unless the real tomato existed. Did you follow that? That image could not be there unless the real tomato. Now, he's quite convinced. He said, Jason, I know you've got a tomato in your hand. And did you eat dinner at all? Do you like tomatoes? You do like tomatoes. Good. So, now turn around. Now, what do you really see?
A tomato.
A tomato. Isn't that a wonderful illustration? What are you seeing? What are you seeing? And your faith is like a mirror. Now, I know you really don't want a tomato, but I bet you'd like to have a tape set, wouldn't you? All right? When the night's over, go pick out any tape set back there, and I'll give it to you. Give him a great big hand clap. Praise God. And I mean that. Y'all go back there and get you out a tape set. But you know, that has helped me so much in the realm of faith, because faith involves what you see. And so many times we hear teaching on, and it's true, we're going to talk about that tonight, faith, what you're saying. But faith begins with what you're seeing. What are you seeing about yourself? It's going to start with how do you see yourself. Because if you can't see yourself in light of the Word of God as a conqueror, then it's very doubtful whether you're going to see yourself accomplishing anything for God. And so many of our identities have been torn down through bad experiences in our past. Maybe, you know, there are those of us in this auditorium possibly that were raised by parents that did not understand godly things. And they told you, you know, you're stupid, you're an idiot, you know, you're never going to amount to anything, you're a failure, you're always going to be that way. And these things develop an identity, how we see ourselves. First step is to begin to see. Everybody say see. You're going to have to see what God says about you and change your whole identity. Then once that is accomplished, seeing who you are in Christ, then you can see yourself being successful, doing something significant for God. But it's going to really involve that realm of the heart. That realm of the heart. That realm of the heart. Okay. Faith does what? What are the three things faith does? Say it with me. See it, say it, do it. One more time. See it,
say it.
All right. Go with me to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 11. Well, I declare. Boy, I used to hear that. Well, I declare. Well, what do you declare? It's one thing to see it. If the only thing you ever do is see it, my friend, you'll be a dreamer. That's all you'll ever be, is a dreamer. At some point, you've got to release it. Everybody say, release it. And so there comes a point where you've got to, I declare. Do tell. Great, day to day. You're going to have to start saying it with your mouth. What are you saying? What are you saying? What you're saying, watch this, what you're saying, I'm quite confident, is connected to what you're seeing. That's why we start on what you're seeing. Whatever you're saying predominantly. Now, you can put on a good front in church, go through church, glory. How you doing, brother? Glory. How's your finances? Glory. How's your wife? Glory. How's Bob doing? Glory. That's all we know about him. Glory. You can go through putting on a good front. At some point, you're going to have to start walking it out. So you see it, you say it, and you do it. All right, Mark 11. Let's look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. We're talking about declaring your future. We're talking about decreeing your future. Mark 11,
Verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was hungry. That's such an interesting sideline to me, that Jesus, he got tired, he got hungry just like we do. He knows what it's like to face the pressures. Verse 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Now, verse 14, don't miss it. You may want to mark this. It's very significant, I think, in the Word of God. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Would you circle the phrase "said unto it"? Jesus answered and said unto it. Excuse me? Did the tree say something to Jesus because it says he answered it? Hello? And Jesus answered it. Now, I can just imagine the disciples. He's doing it again. He's doing it again. Jesus over there talking to this tree. Hey, fig tree. I'm going to answer you. I can just see Peter. He's doing it again. He's doing it again. I mean, they'd seen him talk to storms. They'd seen him talk to dead people. I mean, they'd seen, now he's talking to fig trees. And I can just imagine the disciples a little bit embarrassed. Have you ever been around people that are just wild with the Word of God? And have you ever brought somebody to a meeting like this and you're hoping it's going to be a good meeting? You're just real nervous the whole time. I hope it's going to be one of those normal meetings. Then we have a machine gun tongue, amen, that comes for him. Blast you right out of your saddle, praise God. Make you jump out of your earth suit, praise the Lord. And if you weren't concentrating on the meeting, that got your attention, didn't it? And then the interpretation came forth. Wasn't that wonderful? But you know, you bring a friend to a meeting like this, you go, I hope it's a normal meeting. Well, I think that's the way the disciples were at times. I hope it's a normal. He's talking to trees. All right, look at verse 14. Jesus, please write this. Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. Please mark it. It was so loud, his disciples heard it. Now, you have to understand that your circumstances are talking to you. Your circumstances are talking to you. Your checkbook is talking to you. You need to talk back to your checkbook. Your body will talk to you if you listen. Your body will tell you when it's tired. Your body will tell you when it's hungry, when it's in need of sleep. And you must learn to listen. Everybody say listen. Jesus could listen. He not only saw the tree, he could hear what it was saying. And I don't know at this point in Jesus' life if perhaps he was weary, the devil had come to him and tried to discourage him. But it was more significant than just there was no figs on this tree. That tree, as it were standing there saying, you're going to go hungry. There's no provision for you, Jesus. Just quit now in your ministry. But Jesus answered and said unto it. Now you're going to have to learn to answer your circumstances. You're going to have to learn to see it. And you're going to have to learn to say, I declare. And then what will you declare? Jesus was standing there in front of that tree saying, I declare. Do tell. And he started telling that tree exactly what he thought. And let's read about that. Jesus answered, verse 14, and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Verse 20. For the sake of time, let's go to verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree, please mark this, it's significant, dried up from the roots. It's one thing for a tree to be diseased from the branches in. It's another thing for it to be dried up from the root. And I want you to know what you see and what you begin to declare about your future, it goes to the root, it goes to the heart of the matter. It'll go to the root, it'll go to the heart of the matter. In the spirit realm, our words have significant power. In the spirit realm, our words are like a broadcast signal from a transmitter, from a radio station. It radiates out and it says, I declare. And the forces of heaven and earth will go into motion to enforce whatever you declare. If you declare you'll be a criminal, the devils will enforce that. If you declare that you will be righteous and walk in the way of blessing, the angelic powers will begin to enforce that. Moses knew that. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. And he knew that the powers of heaven and the earthly powers would literally respond. They must respond to the choices you make. Those powers cannot violate your will. Whatever you decree, whatever you declare, the powers must enforce it for good or for evil. Jesus knew that, and he was teaching a lesson. Verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. I can just see the disciples, you know, hanging, waiting for the answer. How did the fig tree? And look what Jesus says, verse 22. I mean, it seems like a change of subjects. And Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. Now I can just hear Peter. Right. I got it. Did you get it? Andrew says, I got it. How about you, Thomas? I doubt it. You know, I mean, I don't know what. I mean, we ask him about the fig tree. Look, Jesus, the fig tree has dried up from the roots. Yes, have faith in God. I mean, you know, we're smart enough to play spiritual. Amen. If you went up to somebody and asked them about a fig tree, they said, yes, have faith in God. You'd go, okay, right. Praise God. Man, that guy needs a hearing aid, you know. We ask about the tree. And you're trying to teach us about faith. Jesus answered and said to them, Have faith in God. Now, if you don't know this, please mark verse 22 there. A more accurate translation would be, Have the faith of God. Or, have God's kind of faith. Now, what's he teaching? Again, Jesus is not teaching an agricultural lesson about how to prune back fig trees here. Jesus is saying, if your circumstance, whether it be a fig tree, and in a moment he alludes to a mountain, so he must have motioned perhaps to a hill or a mountain in the distance. If he says, this standing in your way, you can believe in your heart. Now we're talking about the heart and the mouth connection. We're talking about seeing it, saying it, and above all, doing it. And Jesus begins to pull all that together, and he says, if you'll believe it in your heart, and if you'll begin to decree it and declare it with your mouth, even that mountain in the distance will move out of your way. Will move out of your way. Now, God's kind of faith always decrees it. Why has God always sent prophets in the earth? Why? Have you ever thought about this? How would you like to be Jeremiah? They call him the weeping prophet. How would you like to have that commission? Jeremiah, I'm calling you to prophesy to your generation. And by the way, they will not receive you. Say that again, God. I am calling you to prophesy to your generation. And by the way, they will not receive you. Thank you very much, God, for that call. I appreciate that so much. I mean, why are we going to go and declare and decree the word of the Lord if my generation won't receive it? Watch this. Because God must have his word released into the earth in order for him to perform his word in the earth. Whether it's this generation or the next generation, it will be performed. It will come to pass. But God must always have a mouthpiece in the earth to release his word through. Is that making sense to you? Now, if you go back, we won't take the time to do that. But if you go back and examine Genesis 1, it's amazing how many times it says, and God said, and God said, and God said. I mean, you kind of get tired of reading that. And God said. Let there be light. And God said. And I mean, why didn't the guy just say one time, and God said, and then just list everything God said? Why does he take the effort to say, and God said, and God said, and God said, and God said? Because there's a point there. There is power released when God says. There is power released when God says. And so what Jesus is saying, if we want to be like God, if we want to have the God kind of faith or faith like God has, then it's going to start in the heart realm. What are you seeing? Because what you see is what you get. Seeing is believing. Not with your natural eyes, but with your spirit eyes. What are you seeing in there? And then you're going to have to, I declare, do tell. And tell that mountain what you think about it. Amen? Have you ever just had your back against the wall? You know, this happens to non-Christians. You don't have to be a Christian. This happens to non-Christians. They'll just finally get enough of it, and they'll just walk around ranting and raving and just screaming at the walls, and boy, just tell, I'll refuse. You know, they won't say in the name of Jesus. They'll just start saying what they refuse to have. I'll not be poor. Remember that Gone with the Wind famous statement? What is it? You remember the Gone with the Wind famous statement? I'll not be poor anymore. She stands there. There's always tomorrow. They begin to declare it and decree it. Why? There's power. There's power in what you say. Now look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. And it will be gone with the wind too, honey, when you start doing that. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever... Please mark the word whosoever. I'm so glad he didn't say the prophets, the apostles, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the sanctified ones. He said the whosoevers. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
Oh, say it like you mean it. I am.
I am.
Whosoever. Praise God. All right, verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say... Would you mark the word say there? We're talking about I declare. We're talking about declaring your future. We're talking about speaking to your mountains. He says that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea. That's pretty specific, isn't it? That's pretty specific. Well, if it be God's will, be thou removed. No, he says, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea and shall not doubt. Here it comes, the heart-mouth connection. Please mark it. Shall not doubt in his heart. Right back to Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. Right back to Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he, mark it, saith, shall come to pass. Mark it. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Count it. Look at verse 23. How many times is the word say or saith appear there? Somebody help me. Look at verse 23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now I want to ask you another question. Look closely at verse 23. Don't answer out loud or you might embarrass yourself. But look closely at verse 23. What are you believing? Look at verse 23. What are you believing in verse 23? Look closely. What are you believing? You're believing in what you say. So your heart and your mouth are in harmony. Watch that. Your heart and your mouth are in harmony. You are believing what you're saying. Now, this is a problem with a lot of people that claim to be walking in faith. They don't believe what they're saying. They're saying all the right stuff, but they're not seeing it. And that's a breach and a short circuit in the Spirit. It's a breach, it's a short circuit in the Spirit. Look what he says, verse 23. Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He believes that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, I'll tell you a little story. When Martha and I started our ministry, when we started our ministry, honey, we had nothing. I mean nothing, with a capital N. When we moved from Tulsa, Oklahoma to Vidalia, Georgia, that's where we started, home of the sweet onions. Ever heard of that place? We rented a U-Haul truck, and it was a small U-Haul truck. What, you know, they got different versions. We had a small U-Haul truck. That tells you how much stuff we had. Very little stuff. And I remember we got down there, and we had a Chevette. A Chevette. Dear Jesus, a Chevette. And back then, the speakers, like we finally, you know, had somebody let us use borrow a PA system like these things. Some of you guys might remember this. Do you remember the old speakers were what they call column speakers? They were real tall, slender column speakers. They weren't boxy like they're tall column speakers. They were longer than the Chevette was. I mean, when we put the speakers in the back of the Chevette, you had to leave the hatch open because they'd hang out, which meant all your air conditioning, all your heat, and all that stuff went out, you know. And so how many of you realize that gets a little old going down the road with your PV speakers and your cords hanging out the back, you know, and all your air conditioner going out the back? And so we began to pray, God, please deliver us from the Chevette. Amen. We need Chevette deliverance. Amen. I'm not trying to say anybody, you know, here, but God, deliver me from the Chevette. And so we had a friend. It's a true story. We had a friend in Vidalia who he bought a brand new Ford, one of these Ford 15-passenger, what do they call that? Club wagon chateau? Is that what they call them? The town club wagon? Top of the line. Top of the line. Back then, this was like, how long ago was it? 15 years ago. Hallelujah. 15 years ago. I mean, back then that thing was like close to $20,000. Back then it was the top of the line plush. And he bought that. And he came into my office one day. Had a little office there in my day. And he said, you know, Jason, I've seen you going down the road. And what is that thing? I said, Chevette. It's a Chevette. You know. And he said, would you ever like to borrow the van sometime and go on some of your trips? I said, let me pray about it. Okay, I prayed about it. Yes, I would.
And so, you know, your mama don't have to teach you everything. Amen. And so, we were able to borrow that on a few trips. And big old captain's chairs. Honey, I want you to know, when you've been in Chevette Faith and all of a sudden you're sitting in Ford Chateau Club Wagon Faith, hallelujah. Canaan land is just on the other side. And so we were going down that road, boy, everything fit in the van. It was amazing to have everything fitted, no cords dragging behind you. It was just wonderful. Air conditioning stayed in there, you know. You weren't sweating the whole way. And we were just driving down, and all of a sudden, Martha, she's sitting there, and I'm just sitting there, praise God, we get to borrow it. Martha just said, Jason, I just feel like this is our van. I said, honey, that's coveting. Now, some of you are too holy for your own good. Amen. I'm just going to tell you right now, you're too holy for your own good. And I said, honey, this is, the guy's name was Rob Roy McGregor. Is that a Scottish name or what? Rob Roy McGregor. And I said, honey, this is Rob Roy McGregor's van. She said, honey, I just have a feeling that this is our van. She said, let's just pray and claim it. I said, that's coveting. And I went back with her. She said, honey, we can't do that. She said, well, just let me claim it then. I said, just go ahead and do what you want to. And she claimed that van right there. And I was just over there going, dear Jesus, forgive her for coveting. Help her, Jesus. I told you some of you are too holy for your own good. And so, well, it was amazing. Just so happened. Everybody say, just so happened. Now watch this. I had got to as far as being able to see it. Not it, but see a it. She saw it and started declaring it. Just so happened. Everybody say, just so happened. Now listen, if you will start seeing it, saying it, doing it, the just so happens will start happening to you. They will. You business people, listen to me now. Don't just separate Christianity from what you do out there. Your mission field is where you are. I said, your mission field is where you are. Not everybody's going to go to Russia. Thank God for Amy that's in Russia. Thank God for our missionaries that are all over the world. But you know what? We've got our own mission field. And you're going to have your own fig trees and your own mountains standing where you are. And so, just so happened that Rob Roy McGregor came into my office one day and he said, Jason, he said, you know, and they had just bought this thing like, you know, 6 months or so ago. And they said, you know, my wife just really doesn't like that thing. The way it rides, you know, it's a big old thing. And we're getting ready to do something and get something different. He said, I'm gonna sell it. Now watch this. He said, I'm going to sell it. And he said, I just wanted to give you first shot at it. Well, I knew what those things cost. And I knew where we were. And he said, you know, I've got to get something for it. He said, I said, what you selling it for? He said, well, for you, $5,000. I said, let me pray for it. Shit, bitch, shit, kid. I prayed. Now, some of you are looking at me cross-eyed. If somebody's offering you something worth $15,000 or $20,000 for $5,000, how long do you have to pray about that? Honey, not real long. What'd you do, Jason? I went and borrowed the money. I got that thing. We paid it off in less than a year. And it was her van. It was her van. It was our van for the ministry. Are you seeing that? And I tell you, I credit Martha with getting that van. I really do. And after we got it. After we got it, I knew our faith was developing. I'll tell you another story about our very first computer. Now, again, you'll chuckle at some of this because this kind of dates you. That's how old you are and so forth. But how many of you remember when the first small computers were coming out? See, the young people, they just think computers, you know, have been here. They don't realize we grew up when the dinosaurs were marching around. But I can remember when our ministry, we got to a point where, you know, you can just use index cards so long. And finally we said, we need help, man. We need deliverance. Index deliverance, praise God. And so I began to believe God for a computer. Now, again, some of you chuckle at this, but IBM was not the first group that put out an affordable desktop computer. It was Radio Shack. And I can remember driving to Savannah, Georgia, and going to what they had then, I guess they still have them, called Radio Shack Computer Centers, different than the Radio Shack stores. And they had a computer there that was a business computer, and to get the computer, again, some of you are going to be shocked at this because you know how cheap computers are today. To get the computer, the printer, the peripheral items, $10,000 for one that is fit for the Smithsonian Institute now. But I can remember just standing there drooling over that thing. But I could see it. Everybody say he saw it. And I remember going to Savannah, and I drive down there in our club chateau. Ford van, praise God. And I'd get out and I'd ask for brochures. I'd get brochures. Why? Those brochures would help me see it. And I began to say it. And please write this down if you don't know this. Your primary field for saying it is prayer. Your primary field for saying it is prayer. The mistake a lot of people make is they call all their MCI friends or their AT&T I program or whatever it is. They get on the phone, they call everybody and begin to declare and decree what they're going to do. And when it doesn't work out, they've embarrassed themselves. Because people get out in presumption and they get out in things that God never told them to put their hand to. Are you hearing me? Your main field for declaration, for declaring, is going to be in prayer. And there will be those that God will trust you with, just like Jesus had the disciples. And he could say it around them. You don't need to be going and casting your pearls before everybody that comes along there, because some of them, they'll just run right over them. They don't have the same vision you do. They don't have the same desires you do. Are you seeing this? And so I began to see it. I began to say it. But we could not afford it. Platt couldn't afford it. And I don't know if you know what it's like to have the call of God on your life and you want to reach people that are lost going to hell. And you can't afford something that you know that if you had that thing, you could literally put something in place that would save souls. I mean, that's how serious it is. And just so happened. Everybody say, just so happened. You start seeing it and saying it, and you start doing as much as you can. Maybe all you can do is go look at it. Maybe all you can do is get a brochure. Maybe all you can do is save $50 a month. As small as that seems, up next to $10,000. Maybe that's all you can do. Just so happened, we'd saved a little bit. Just so happened that we got a letter. Wasn't it just about Christmas time at the end of the year? From Mr. McNeely. And he had added up his giving for that year. And he said, Jason, Martha, he said, you know, I don't know how it's happened, but my giving to God this year is, I think it was about $6,000-$7,000 short. And he said, enclosed is a check. And use it for the. You've never seen somebody jump up and do the Jehovah Jireh dance like I did that night. I want you to know we cut the carpet this way. We did the do-si-do. Praise God. Because now we could do it. It's one thing to see it. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. And that money, with what little bit of money we've been able to save, we went and I got that Radio Shack computer. And I remember we programmed it next month or so. We programmed, got everything in there. That computer served us so well for several years. And now, you know, put it up next to what we have now. Last year, we spent $30,000 in our ministry upgrading all of our computers, our phone system. I mean, we've got very nice equipment now in the office. But, you know, start with what you can get. Start with what you can get, and then just move up. God will bless you. But you're going to have to see it. Everybody say, I must see it. Then you must declare it. Everybody say, I must declare it. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Let's look at it again. Verse 23, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, go with me to Proverbs. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 12. Are you learning something? I'd just like you to evaluate your life. You know, you sit there and you say, well, Jason, you know, I've heard some of these things before. All right, review. Review. What are you seeing in your life now? What are you seeing in your life now? What are you saying with your mouth? How many of you realize it is so easy to slip back? I tell you, you live in a world that is so full of sin and so full of corruption, it is so easy for the cares of this world to come in like parasites and just sap it out of you. And the thing about faith is this. Why? The mountains you face tomorrow are not the same mountains you'll face today. The fig trees of tomorrow are not the fig trees of today. All right, Proverbs 12, and let's look at verses 13 and 14. Again, I want you to see the heart and the mouth connection. Proverbs 12, verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression, please mark this, of his lips. Did you know even the wicked has an autopilot? Even the wicked will be directed by the heart and the mouth connection. He says in verse 13, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Verse 14, a man shall be satisfied with good. Everybody say good. Everybody say blessing. Everybody say life. A man shall be satisfied with good. Mark it. By the fruit of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The heart and the mouth, the divine autopilot. Chapter 13, right next door. Go to chapter 13. Mark verses 2 and 3. Proverbs 13, verses 2 and 3. A man shall eat good. Everybody say good. Life. That's five of you. Somebody help me, dear God. Everybody say life.
Life.
Blessing.
Blessing.
Good.
Good.
Look at verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Mark that. But the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. He that keepeth his mouth. Boy, you can't be more direct than that. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You know, I've met believers like that. Well, brother people, I just believe in being transparent. I just believe in letting it all hang out. If I want to say it, I'll just say it. How many of you like being around people like that? How you doing, George? Oh, I'll tell you, my back's been acting up, my neck, my knees come out. Okay, that's enough, George. Thank you very much. See you next year. Praise God. You know. Look what he says, verse 3. He that openeth wide his lips, you just don't care what comes out of your mouth, shall have destruction. Shall have destruction. Chapter 15, Proverbs 15. Well, I'll tell you, what we're about to read is so powerful, honey. Shame on you if you don't put it in yellow by tonight. Before you go to bed. Proverbs 15, look at verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Boy, I like that. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright. Did you know that you can use the Word of God on your problems? You can use the Word of God against the devil just like Jesus did. You'll be a wise person. Verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Now, I don't want to upset your stomach because some of you may have just eaten or some of you may be already seeing it tonight, you know, what you're going to eat afterwards. But let me give you the Hebrew for poureth out. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The Hebrew there is belcheth out. Can I just put that in just good old layman's church language? It stinketh in the nostrils of God. For you to go around and just be talking foolishness, that's just as offensive in the spirit realm to God and His angels as if somebody came up to your faith and said, "Hi." You'd be going, "Whoa, super supreme, whatever that thing was. Dear God, it was cursed, I know that." Some of you didn't like that, but I'm sorry. That's the original meaning. Get that out of a word dictionary. All right, look at verse 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools belcheth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord. Thank God his nose is not there. The eyes of the Lord. Woo! Oh, I'm having fun. Look at verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Mark verse 4. Don't miss it. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. You know, it's interesting. You'll find a tree of life in the book of Genesis in the garden. There's a tree of life there. In the book of Revelation, you're going to find the tree of life in the New Jerusalem. You know where the tree of life is now in this time? It's in your mouth. He says in verse 4, a wholesome tongue. The original language there is the healing tongue, or a tongue full of healing power. Some of you need your finances healed. Some of you need relationships healed. Some of you need healing in various ways. He says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Now, don't miss this market. But perverseness therein. Therein where? In the mouth or in the tongue. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Now watch. Let's take a guy. He's seen it. He has seen his business prospering. Or he's seen his family blessed. He's seen his children blessed, healed emotionally, well emotionally. He sees that, but he puts foolishness in his mouth. Why, you're going to grow up and be just like Uncle, you know, whoever. Why, you better watch out. You know, you'll land yourself in prison. You'll bust hell wide open. Yes, you will. You know, this kind of foolishness talking to children like that. You breach or short circuit what you've been seeing in the spirit. There's got to be a flow. Everybody say a flow. A flow from what you see needs to be reflected in what you say. And vice versa. What you say ought to be a reflection of what you see. And then that will indeed determine your direction. But he says there in verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. All right, let's go to chapter 18. And this is probably one of the most classic passages on the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18 and Mark verses 20 and 21. Proverbs 18, Mark verses 20 and 21. We're talking about declaring and decreeing your future. Everything good that has ever happened to the man you're standing, that I'm standing in front of you, everything that's ever happened good, it's happened. Whether I understood the process at the time or not, it happened through me seeing it, through me saying it, and through me doing it. I can remember when my daddy was an alcoholic. And I can remember my daddy fell in the category of, it's really going to take God to get him saved. You ever talk about people like that? Well, he fell in that category. And how many of you realize alcoholics do dumb things? I mean, it's not even smart to drink something flammable and then light a cigarette up and put it next to your mouth. I mean, that's dumb right there. That categorizes it in the realm of an idiot. Amen. To put something flammable in your mouth and then bring, you know, a flame up to your mouth. Praise God. It's one of those things don't blow up and explode. Go right on to heaven. But I can remember my daddy was not a saved person. I wanted my daddy saved. I began to see my daddy saved. I began to share the gospel with my father. And I want you to know there were some battles fought there, things that I wouldn't even tell you. You just don't need to talk about things like that. And I can remember the night that my daddy and I knelt down by his bed and he prayed the sinner's prayer. And he got saved. He had about one more drunk after that. How many of you believe you could be saved and still have one more drunk? Amen. I do. I said to some of you, too holy for your own good. Amen. Had about one more drunk after that. Got delivered off of alcohol. Now walking with God. Got delivered from cigarettes. I mean, that's it. Thank God, you know. Hey, forget the cigarettes. Just get the guy saved. Somebody says, do you think he could be saved and be smoking? Well, he might smell like he's been to hell, but he'll get to heaven. Amen. All that smoke. Seeing it, saying it, doing it. All the way from the first typewriter that we ever had, the IBM Selectric Model 2 self-correcting typewriter. We saw it. To the computer, to the van, to the missionary organization. Now we've stepped out into radio. It starts by seeing it, saying it, and above all, what? Doing it. It's the process. All right, look at this. Proverbs 18, verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Honey, we're not talking here about going down to, what do y'all have here, Ryan's or Quincy's? Golden Corral? Y'all have any kind of steakhouse? It's gone out of business. Y'all didn't go down there, so we don't have to worry about it. All right, look at verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with fruit of his mouth. Circle the word mouth. And with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. You need to increase with your lips the word of God. You need to increase with your lips what God has shown you in your heart. Don't breach it. Don't short-circuit it. And look at verse 21. Here's the classic statement. Death and life. That's why I told you that this process works not only for good, but it'll work for evil. Death and life. Everybody say death and life. He says death and life are the power of the tongue, and they that love it or understand the principle and give themselves to it, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. All right, Romans chapter 4. Are you learning something? Declaring your future. I don't know about you, but I'm declaring my future. I'm not going to let the world declare my future. And I'll tell you parents a little secret. I'm declaring my children's future.
My mind appeals, you just might get into manipulation.
You already are. I said you already are. You might as well manipulate them with the Word of God and with the Spirit of God. You might as well begin to shape them and form them and mold them with the Word of God. You're already shaping them in some way. Why not do it in a good way? I'm already declaring and decreeing the future of my children. That verse means a whole lot more than you ever thought that says, raise up a child in the way and he'll not depart from it. You better raise him up in the way that God has for him. It's your duty as a parent to begin to see when they can't see yet. They're too young to see. You begin to see. You begin to see the path. You begin to declare it. You help them to start doing it. Praise God. Doesn't just mean teach them right from wrong. We know that. It means raise them up in the way that God has for them. There's a way. There's a path. Every child has a destiny. Every child has a path. It's the duty of the spiritual parent to begin to see that and direct them in that way for their life. For their life. Declare it in prayer. Begin to declare it in prayer. Begin to shape them and mold them that way. Romans 4. Romans 4. We're talking about declaring it. Now, write this in your notes before we read this. I want you to write this in your notes. We're going to finish in this passage. I want you to write. We'll take about 10 more minutes here and we'll be finished. But I want you to write this in your notes. When you declare it, when you declare it, there's not only an internal effect. In other words, that it affects you for you to declare it. There is an outward effect of calling that very thing to you. And I hope this doesn't offend you for me to use this phrase, but there's a magnetic tendency there. It draws to you the forces of good or the forces of evil. It draws to you. It's magnetic, as it were. When you begin to declare and you begin to decree, there's a spiritual, as it were, magnetism that will draw to you circumstances, people, situations that begin to propel you down this path that you're decreeing and declaring. That works good or evil. That's why people that have evil intents, it just so happens they run across their old buddy who has a revolver they could borrow or buy. They even give you an IOU. It's amazing how they'll work with you on things like that to see you going to destruction. Romans 4, verse 17. Let's start with verse 17. As it is written, now don't miss this, Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now let's stop here. Some of you may not know this, but who's talking here? Who's the one saying, I have made thee a father of many nations? Who's that talking? God. Everybody say God.
God.
All right, who's he talking to? When did he say it? Before or after he was a father of many nations? You mean to tell me God said something and decreed it and declared it before it really was? God always declares it and decrees it before it really is. That's the whole reason God sent Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and all the prophets. They come into the earth declaring as the mouthpiece of God the will and the Word of God, which gives God legal access. He rides in on the decree. He rides in on the prayer. He rides in on the declarations to fulfill His purposes. Verse 17. I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Mark this. Who quickeneth the dead. How many of you believe God raises the dead? I hope you believe that, because you will fall into that category before it's over with. Thank God for the resurrection of the dead. If we don't have the resurrection of the dead, we're of all men most miserable. I thank God for all the other blessings, but when the final analysis is, honey, my faith is in the big one. Thank God for all these other miracles. I'm ready for the big one. That's the real one. The resurrection of this mortal body. Not one like it. This one. This one. Jesus didn't get another body. The one that went in the grave is the one that came out. Transformed. Right? That's an amazing thing right there to ponder. Who quickeneth the dead, mark it, and calleth, circle it, calleth, and calleth. Everybody say calleth. Everybody say God calls.
God calls.
Mm-hmm. And calleth those things that be not. Everybody say that be not. And calleth those things that be not as though they were. Go back to the van. Martha was calling the van hours before it was. And then it was. I was calling the computer before it was. And then it was. I was calling the missionary agency before it was. Then it was. And I am now calling an international radio broadcast before it is and it will be. I'm calling it. Now some of you are sitting there going, Brother Peebles, that sounds weird. I don't know if I could do that calling stuff. Well, you don't have any problem with your neighbor when they get out on the porch and they go, Kitty! Yeah, kitty! Ooh, come here, kitty! You just don't have any problem with that, do you? But I start talking about, computer! Come here, computer! Come here, man. Oh, come here, little kitty man. And then you look at me weird. But you know, we know what it's like to get out there and call Kitty. Or Rover. Now, let me just give you some basic lessons in kitty calling. If Kitty is sitting right here, do you get out there and go, Kitty! If you do, you got problems. And we will have a healing line. Because you are afflicted with some kind of kitty spirit. What's your name? You know. Come out. You know. What's your name? Friskies. Okay. You call Kitty when Kitty's not there. Lesson number 3 in kitty calling. When you call Kitty, what are you expecting? Some of you said it. One more time. Now, when you call Kitty, Rover does not show up. Now, you know, you'd think it really strange if you were out there and you saw your neighbor. Kitty. And your little boy took off, jumped the fence, ran over to your neighbor and said, did you call? Whatever his name is. Sam, get back over here. Your name's not Kitty. Sorry, Dad, I thought they were calling me. Do you eat out of that bowl over there? Yes, Daddy, sometimes I get a hankering. We got to cast that hankering out of you. I mean, this is silly to talk about this, but we get over to the spirit. People say, I don't know about that faith stuff and calling. You got to call what you want. Now, if you don't want Kitty, honey, don't call Kitty. Now, some of y'all are out there going, and you don't want Kitty. Maybe Kitty's a monster. And you're going, Kitty. Why is this happening to me? You call Kitty. That's why it's happening to you. On the other hand, some of you go, Kitty! And shut that door before that cat can get in there. And you starve Kitty too, Dad. We're going to try it one more time. You come to the slide door. You ready, honey? I'm ready. Are we in agreement? We're in agreement. Kitty! And he didn't come. Amen. Give God some time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? All right, now let's read this. There's all kind of lessons you can come at from kitty school. Verse 17, mark it. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. Who against hope, please mark this, who against hope
believed in hope, that he might become. Mark it. That's the whole point. He was believing beforehand that he might become.
I told those would-be missionaries at Cries for the Nations Bible Institute, it's an awesome thing to ask someone to commit their life to go into a whole other country, a whole other culture, lay down everything that's normal and natural to your physical delights, and go into another place and proclaim the gospel. Now, that's an awesome thing to challenge somebody to do that. I said, now, if God has called you to do that, start seeing yourself in it and see yourself in the best possible light. See yourself successful. See yourself blessed there. See yourself not only with enough money to get by on, see yourself with enough money to go out and have some crusades and do something when you get there. Well, but it seems so impossible. That's why you're believing. That's why you're calling Kitty. Because he's not there yet, and you want him to come. Verse 18. That he might become. Say it. That he might become. Say it. That he might become. The father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And be not weak in faith. Did you know you can have weak faith? And I dare say some of you today, if you'd be honest with yourself, you may have heard some of this stuff before, maybe you haven't, I don't know. That's an individual thing. But some of you have had weak faith. Some of you, your faith has gotten weak. Because you've been seeing the wrong things. You've been saying the wrong things. You've been doing the wrong things. Any one of those three areas can trip you up and cause you to have weak faith. You can see it, say it, but if you're doing the wrong things, it's going to short-circuit it. You can see it, and if you're not saying it, it'll short-circuit it. You can say it, and if you're not saying it, you've got to see it, say it, and do it. He says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. You know, when you get up to that age, it's just about 100. Praise God. They quit counting that. About 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Is that powerful? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Mark it, mark it, mark it, mark it. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Here's the key. Here's the key. You know a way to get your faith strong? Start giving God glory. Every time that doubt hits you, glory to God, I know I'll be that missionary. Glory to God, Father, by your mercy and your help, I'll be that missionary. That doubt hits you, you'll never own a home. Glory to God, I'll own a home. I'll have a home. It'll be a nice one, full of nice things. Thank you, God. Glory to God. Just short-circuit that doubt by giving God some glory. Start giving Him glory. Glory for what? Glory for what He's promised or what He's told you. Oh, you'll never have your own. Glory to God, I'll have my own business. Yes, I'll have my own business. Glory to God. You'll never be able to afford to go to college. Why, your family doesn't have enough to send you to a nice... Glory to God, I'll go to college. There'll be a way. God will open a door. I'll pursue it. I'll knock on every door. If I get 100 no's, the 101st one will be a yes. But with strong in faith, giving glory to God. And this is our last verse, verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what God had promised, hallelujah, He was able also to perform. I declare, do tell, great day today. That's the way you have a great day. Declare your future. Have you learned something? Let's stand up and I'm going to ask the worship team to come.
Hello, this is Jason Peebles. I want to thank you for listening to this cassette message. My desire is that our ministry will make a positive difference in your life. I'd like to take a moment to share with you how you can be involved in helping us take God's Word around the world. We are living in one of the most exciting times in history, and it's friends just like you who make it possible for us to reach our generation. Here's our vision in two parts. First of all, Martha and I have the call of God to teach the positive message of God's Word around the world. We've been doing this since 1979, and we're doing it right now through conferences, cassette tapes, literature, and radio. The second part of our ministry concerns missions. You may be less familiar with this part, but our organization serves as the home office for foreign missionaries who are working in many nations. These are full-time families, most of whom have been to Bible school and many to language school, and they are now serving on the mission field through our office. And our missionary agency is continuing to expand. Yet, we realize that there are still millions of people around the world who have not yet been reached for Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to join with us in this vision for reaching around the world with God's Word. The only way that we can accomplish what God has called us to do is through friends just like you. If this teaching ministry has blessed you, and if you feel that God would have you join with us, I'm asking that you take a moment to contact our office and let us know. The easiest way to do it is to simply call our toll-free number and tell one of our secretaries that you desire to become a monthly partner. We will record your commitment and then contact you by mail. You may choose to support us with a certain amount each month, or you may prefer to give variable amounts each month. Whatever you can do will be greatly appreciated. So please prayerfully consider calling us today. You can call us toll-free between 9 to 5 Eastern Time. Call 1-800-832-WORD. That's 1-800-832-WORD. Or you can write to World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box B, Marietta, Georgia, 30061. Together, we can make a world of difference with God's Word. This is Jason Peebles reminding you that there is victory for today.